This episode of WW Today is brought to you by our friends at Off the Neverland Travel. If you're planning your next vacation and you want to have a great time doing it, you don't want to, you're stress-free, nice, enjoy your time there at Walt Disney World or wherever you're traveling, you need to check out any Disney vacation. Check them out at gotoneverland.com. Plan your next vacation. Get with a magic maker. You're going to love it. They'll plan your itineraries. They'll help you make sure you can optimize your entire experience. Again, that's at gotoneverland.com. And as Will likes to say,
all you got to do is pack.
All you got to do is pack. And also, special thanks to our new friends over at audible.com. They're offering you a free 30-day trial of their awesome digital audiobook experience. I'm a proud member. Go over there to their website. It is audible.com/WDW. Use that link. Make sure they know that you're coming from right here at WDW Today. Again, audible.com/WDW.
Give me a little intro there, Gomer.
Bringing the world to your world. This is WDW Today. Coming to you from somewhere off property at the Laugh-O-Gram Studios, featuring Len Testa and the greatest band in podcasting, Off Kilter. Now here they are, Terry Weaver, the nature boy Will Haynes, and your host, Logan Seculo.
All right, it's Wednesday, June 15th, 2016, and this is episode number 1516 of WDW Today. I'm Logan Seculo.
I'm Will Haynes.
I'm Terry Weaver.
All right, guys, we're going to address this right up front because we know some of you are probably interested. We got a lot of questions and concerns about this week's episode, about security. And guys, we are working actually right now on getting some information from even some people that visit Orlando, some of the touring councils, to come on and talk to you guys about safety concerns that may be happening in the Orlando area right now. But first and foremost, we just want to say our thoughts and prayers are to all of the victims, the families, everyone in Orlando, the city beautiful, everyone who travels to Walt Disney World, like us, that considers it, I said yesterday on Twitter, considers it their safe place, that they go and take their kids and their family. So our prayers and love is out to them. You know, we're trying to pick a topic for today, and instead we decided, you know, let's just call up Lynn. Let's do listener questions for a while and have some fun with that. It did go a little tangenty. It's a little different. We were trying to have some fun and lighten it up, guys, because look, hopefully this is a good distraction to the horrific news that is continuing rolling, including my phone literally just buzzed from a press conference that's happening. So I mean, this stuff that's happening all day as we are recording this episode here on Monday. But we really appreciate you guys wanting to check in, get your questions answered. We got some really good ones. And guys, any thoughts before we move on?
Yeah, I just want to say, echo Logan's statement that our thoughts and prayers are with the people of Orlando. I've said before on this broadcast, I grew up there. My childhood was all living in Orlando. And so this, it really, and I have family that still lives there. It really hits a nerve with me. And it was hard to even consider talking just, you know, lightheartedly about this. Yeah. But I really appreciate everyone in the Disney community that has been expressing their sympathy and their hopes for moving forward with the city of Orlando.
Yeah, I was actually in the middle of making reservations for our Disney cruise and randomly just saw a post and turned on CNN and was just, as the British would say, gutted, just over the events and happening. And it was just, I literally stayed up all night.
Yeah, same here.
The last time I remember doing that with a news story was the Gulf War in the mid-90s. It felt like home had been attacked. And so, yeah, as the other guys have said, you know, our thoughts and prayers are with, I know even some cast members from some of the parks have been affected. I saw that they closed
Universal,
some of the Harry Potter attractions.
They had someone pass away who was, look, if you go to Facebook page, tons of Disney pictures, definitely someone who was in the, people affected in the theme park community for sure. It's just a horrible thing. Look, I encourage everyone, if you're in the area and you're there even now on tourism, they were in desperate need of blood. So, you know, go donate blood. You can go find out all that information. We tweeted a link about it. Ways you can go, different blood banks really can help out. Great way to help the people of Orlando and support them as they need it now. But like I said, we are going to try to address the security concerns once it gets a little bit later, maybe next week on the show, when we have more information from Orlando themselves about how things are going to be affected. We obviously know security was ramped up last night at Walt Disney World. There was a long wait to get in. Everyone's going through metal detectors. As far as we know, that's still happening. But you know, we'll keep you updated on the latest stuff. We're not going to get into it in listener questions because, again, we'll let you have kind of a clean break here and let's just try to enjoy ourselves for the next half an hour or so. And now on with the show.
It's time for listener questions with Lynn.
All right, it's that time again. Listener questions with Lynn. Last week, Mr. Hochberg filled in for you, Lynn, but he did a good enough job, but not quite good enough to be asked back yet.
Who?
He actually did pretty well, I have to say. He acted like he was all rusty and then like jumped right in and was blowing our minds. So
is it like pretty well for Matt? I mean, is it like, you know, hey, look, here's a dog water skiing. It's good for a dog.
Right. Exactly. Exactly.
I mean, you're just impressed that the dog can water ski. That's not true. I love Hochberg.
Yeah, absolutely. And as you can tell, Lynn is not connected as usual. He's in a some sort of cave.
Yeah.
He's mining the gold rush right now.
I think it's a new DVC property.
Yeah.
It's Disney's Cave Kingdom.
Yeah.
God, it's Seven Dwarfs Mine Cave.
There you go.
Yeah.
You know, it's like a crazy amount of points.
It sort of does sound like you're coming to us from like a bubble bath.
It's nice.
Calgon, take me away.
Well, we should put like some just background, like Enya in the background.
Yeah. Day spa with Lynn.
Yeah. Yanni, maybe.
Oh, Enya.
Crank up the Toto. All right, let's not waste any of your time now. Let's get on to some questions. A lot of people have had questions, obviously, over the weekend, and we addressed it a little bit earlier in the show. Some people have addressed the security stuff that's happening. Obviously, some changes we have a question of that, but we are going to dive into that a little bit deeper, honestly, as we know more. So we'll kind of let that at the beginning. I'm sure we'll take the question related to it, but in general, we'll brief that when we can. And let's take our first question. Comment, and it's from Terry Weaver.
Yes, I have a question, and I know probably a year from now, Lynn, you'll be able to answer this question better. I am in the middle of planning we're going on a Mediterranean cruise.
Nice.
And when we decided we were doing that, we were going to end our trip in Paris. Mm-hmm. And so I need your advice about the must-dos and anything I need to do in planning a trip to Disneyland Paris.
Wow, great question. So a couple of the must-dos. Are you staying on-site in Disneyland Paris?
We're kind of on the fence about that. We're staying at a hotel by the airport, which is about 9 minutes away on the train.
So you're going to take the TGV and
And so, I mean, I could use some DVC points to stay at one of the properties. Is there one that I should stay at?
The only reason I would suggest it is with the dollar being really strong against the euro right now, the Disneyland Hotel is a particular bargain. I mean, like once every 20 years bargain. So just to give you an example, when I did research for the unofficial guide to Disneyland Paris, which is sadly out of print, one night at the Disneyland Hotel in like $2011 dollars was around $1,300 a night.
Wow.
One of my developers, David, went this year and it was $385. So a third of the cost.
What the difference there?
Yeah.
It's a pretty cool hotel, too. I've been. I never stayed there, but I've been to the hotel and I've been to the park. It's. I think you like it.
It's 61 DVC points a night, which is a lot.
Dude, I paid 150 for a bungalow and I would definitely do the...
I hear you. That's
it. Yeah, but you know, if you could swing it. It's one of the, you know, you get to see into the park at night.
Yeah.
And that is, you know, there are relatively few rooms on Disney property anywhere in the world in which you could do that. And that's why I would say it's probably worth it. Also, they come with tickets. So there is a little bit of offset cost there that you get to make. Right. If you can do that. You know, in terms of things not to miss, I think the castle itself is fairly interesting. It's always interesting to see the Parisian take on Main Street. Will, you and I have never met in person, but just to put this in perspective, I am considered a large person by the standards of Disneyland's Space Mountain. Like, dude, I'm like 5'8", 180. I am not a big guy. No, not. But a lot of the seats are uncomfortable fits for me. So watch out for things like that. I really like the Nautilus walkthrough. I find it inexplicably charming in Tomorrowland. And I think there are a couple of interesting things over at the studios too. I think Cinemagique is the best film in any studio in Disney property.
Okay,
it's again also charming. I think there are definitely a few things to see there. There's the Indiana Jones roller coaster,
yeah,
which is a little bizarre. Okay,
full immersion roller coaster.
Full immersion, yeah. I think Adventureland in general in Paris is very different. Lots of super interesting stuff there. There's like these multi-level walkthroughs. It's like imagine if the Swiss Family Treehouse in Adventureland and the Magic Kingdom extended out over all of Adventureland with the walkways thing. Hmm. It's like that. And then what am I missing? Oh, Pirates of the Caribbean is pretty good. Big Thunder Mountain, for some reason, is super, super popular there, as is the whole old American West.
Oh, so, yes, we love the American West.
Yeah. So the Haunted Mansion, I'm sure you've
heard. Yes, Phantom Manor.
Phantom Manor, yeah, is vastly different there. I think those are the big highlights.
Yeah, to me, it's genuinely scary, Phantom Manor. There's like weird actual jump moments in it. And I would add on to that Space Mountain second flight or whatever it's called.
Yeah.
I think Star Tours just closed. You could have done the original Star Tours.
Do the French even have a space program?
They do the what's the Europeans space agency?
The whatever the Euroconnect is what I'll call it. That's not what it's called.
It sounds like a train.
Right.
What about dining? Are there any like I know they have like a version of like the Bayou there. Is that on Pirates? I forgot what it's called.
I don't know.
I did not find any of the dining particularly interesting. I mean, the thing is, dude, you're 20 minutes away from Paris.
Really
itself.
Good food?
Just go back to Paris.
And I'm strangely excited to find out. I found out in my research they have an Earl of Sandwich, and that's exciting.
Yeah, Earl of Sandwich is all over.
I actually ate there a couple of times, and the funny thing, honest to God, I'm going to sound like an idiot American here. I walked into Earl of Sandwich. And you know they've got the giant poster on the wall of the Earl. He looks like George Washington. And I spent the entire time while I was eating the sandwich trying to figure out in my head why George Washington was in a sandwich place in Paris. And I'm thinking to myself, if I ask anyone, it's going to be the stupidest question they've ever heard, and I don't want to fall into the stereotype. And so I actually worked on it in my head until I could figure out it's got to be the Earl sandwich. And thankfully I did. So everyone who's listening, just pretend I never said what I just said.
That's fantastic.
I did eat at the Waltz place or something like that. I think they're opening that right here now. The food was fine. It was like we had been in France for over a month at that point, my wife and I. So it was kind of nice to eat at Disney World because like, oh, it's kind of like home, but still was like, it's like home for like 30%. And then it's like something's a little off. So like, I remember like I had like a cheeseburger or something. It was like with a fried egg on it and it was fine, but it still had that one step of like, this is trying to be an American restaurant and it's not even pulling that off quite well. But it was cool design. I think it's like upstairs on Main Street. Something like that. Like I can't remember specifically. It's been probably close to 10 years now.
Is there a site that I should be looking at? I found like dlpguide.com seems like to be the only one out there. Is there another one that's like talks about Paris?
It's the only one I'm familiar with.
Okay.
Listen to Diz After Dark. They talk a ton about Paris. And I think they may have a spinoff show, a Paris show.
Hmm. I should call them with those guys just because they're a fun
group of guys. Yeah.
I should tell you my Waltz story. So I walked into Waltz one morning and it was closed. But I was trying to figure out when it was open because I wanted to eat lunch. And there was no one at the podium, but someone was in the sort of the restaurant proper. So I walked into the restaurant proper and I said, you know, in my best French, excuse me, what time does the restaurant open? And the cast member that was there explained to me patiently while she was smoking her cigarette that it was her break time and she wasn't going to answer any questions on her break, which I understand it's a Parisian
thing
it's a cultural thing, but technically it would have actually been fewer syllables for her to just it would have taken less effort for her to actually tell me I got the point, but if she was, you know, it was interesting. I understand the cultural thing, and you know, if one person does it, then everyone's going to do it. I get it. It was perplexing to an American.
Yeah, I'd say that's what kind of came off to us. Is it's still not, you know, it's Disneyland, but it's not. The employees are not that way. I've heard they've changed, as Terry was saying earlier, but it definitely wasn't super clean. You know, lights were out and things like that. There were that you'll occasionally find at Disney World, but much rarer than I felt like we were at Disneyland Paris, which is sort of like a I don't know. You'll tell when you'll see it when you're there.
Weirdly, the one thing that convinced me that we had to do it is a conversation with Tony Baxter about the castle and how he created it, and at a conference that I did in Anaheim a couple years ago.
Yeah.
So
yeah, the castle's cool.
That alone is kind of what I'm just looking to see.
Call him up. Hook. Yep.
Be like, Tony, just come take me. I need a tour guide.
Tony, take me away.
My favorite Dixie Chick song.
We've got a question from Bridget, and she asks, you have one day and night at WDW. Where do you stay? Where do you eat? And which parks do you go to, assuming you have a park hopper? Finally, what attractions / entertainment options do you choose? Let's say finances are unlimited.
All right.
One day and one night.
So a full 24 hours, I guess.
So I guess maybe you check in to your hotel and you go to the park the next day?
Bridget, this is confusing. And I feel like we've answered this, but let's go around the horn.
It's like 24. You have 24 hours. You check in at noon and you check out after lunch.
All right. Let's make it applicable here, guys. All right. What do you think? Anybody got one? You got one, Terry?
I would stay either close to Epcot at like Beach Club, Boardwalk, or I would stay at probably the Poly. Just because you can splurge on a nicer resort. You want to be close, maybe even the Grand Floridian. I would stay definitely somewhere nicer. I would probably, I'd probably eat at, my must eats are always, if I'm only there one day, I'm going to eat at Prime Time for sure. I'm going to probably have dinner, at least sushi at California Grill. And I'm going to go through and hit the eat tickets, obviously.
All right.
I would say stay at Grand Floridian. The park you're going to go to is Magic Kingdom. You're going to, and no other parks. You're not going to do Park Hopper. Just one day, just do the entire park of Magic Kingdom. You're going to have dinner the night at California Grill, and you're going to hit late night at the Trader Sam's Grotto at Poly.
All right, Lynn, you got one?
Apparently, you're not getting up the next morning.
Yeah, you're just
Trader Sam's. You're done.
I like the idea of staying on the Magic Kingdom monorail loop. I would actually stay at Bay Lake Tower. I like the hotel a little bit better than Grand Floridian. Plus, it's you can walk there and back to the Magic Kingdom. I would definitely stay at the Magic Kingdom all day and for the 24 hours because it's sort of the park that people think about when they think of Disney World. And I would probably do dinner at Victoria and Albert's.
All right.
Fancy.
All right.
Speaking of which, have you guys been to Tiffin's yet?
No.
No.
We have to talk about this.
Okay, go ahead.
In the middle, so I think it's one of the best restaurants in Walt Disney World.
Actually. All right. Wow.
So, okay, well, this is tips people can use. I'd rather do that than this. So just, you know what I'm going to say? I go with Lynn. Lynn's is fine. So Lynn, tell us about the restaurant.
So it's behind Pizzafari on Discovery Island. Sort of tucked in the middle of nowhere for now. Once Pandora opens, it'll be directly on the walkway.
No, you don't want to open Pandora.
Yeah, right. Yeah,
you open correct. Pandora's box, can't things get crazy. You can't put it back in. Yeah. Sorry. Yeah. Continue.
Will took his glasses off for that joke, which was pretty
impressive. I was excited about it.
That's beautiful. You walk in and it's got these things, these decorations all over the walls that are supposed to be things that Imagineers have brought back from their adventures in creating the park. And that's it's actually a little subdued, almost to the point where it's plain. There's some interesting stuff on the wall, definitely an Asian vibe or an Asian theme to it. But it's not as heavily themed as many other restaurants you'd see in Walt Disney World. In terms of the appetizers, the food, I really like the grilled octopus, which doesn't even taste like seafood, frankly. It tastes like a really good piece of beef. Steamed mussels are there, which are also really, really good. In fact, of all the appetizers, there are very few that I wouldn't order again. The ones that people generally didn't like, and maybe this was because it was summer, but there's a lobster bisque soup that was just okay. I think the day that we ate it, it was 97 degrees outside. So maybe
some creamy lobster, warm, piping hot soup doesn't sound great for the 97 degrees. But
yeah, but all the appetizers are good. They do a frittata, falafel. In terms of the entrees, they do a wide variety of very good things. So they do a pork tenderloin with pork tamale. That's with a mole sauce that was really good. They do Wagyu beef and short rib, which is super tasty. A curry vegetable curry, which is actually more like a vegetable stew. And that's the one thing that I would probably not recommend. It's $29 for some vegetables. And granted, it's good vegetables, but it's $29. But the dish that you guys have to look for, and I would definitely order it too, is the whole fried fish. And it's, so it's like an 18 inch long fish, fried, and it's presented, sitting up on its stomach. Yeah. But dude, the funniest thing about it is like the facial expression on the fish is like they fried it at the moment it realized what was going on.
I just thought I was at Disney.
I know. It's like when the people that were eating, we had to turn the fish head away from us. So we couldn't be one.
Do we need to like pull the old move from A Christmas Story where you ask the Chinese guy to cut the head off of us? You have to look at the duck smile.
It's like that. It was disconcerting. So we, but it was super tasty though. Everything that we had was really good. For desserts, the lime cheesecake is good. And then they do a mango panna cotta that was also very tasty. But overall, I mean, great service. All the food was really well prepared. It's a little expensive, you know, average entree is going to be in the, you know, $37 to $40 range. But overall, really, really high quality stuff.
Did you get to go to the new, were you over there when the bar or the lounge had opened already?
Yeah.
What's it called? I'll find it.
Nomad Lounge.
The Nomad Lounge. Nomad Lounge. Yeah.
It was open. It was packed actually. We were there. So we got drinks to go there. Just beers.
Yeah. But it's pretty cool.
Yeah, yeah. There's a back porch area that was really nice. Again, it was 97 degrees when we were there. There weren't many people that were out in the sun on the porch.
Yeah.
But it looked really good. We actually crashed a friend's party of reservation for two and turned it into six eventually. So you're the king of that. Yeah, I didn't get to spend much time in the lounge. We also saw The Awakening while we were there, which I really, really liked over at the Tree of Life.
Yeah, I was going to ask that. So what have you seen so far of the nighttime? I mean, this is totally off topic, but let's just do this anyway. What have you seen so far of the nighttime stuff there at Animal Kingdom?
I saw The Awakening, which is – it's a series of short films. I think there are four, maybe five of them. And they're little vignettes. What they do is they focus on like one animal on the tree. In the first one that we saw was a deer. So there'll be like a spotlight on the deer, and then the spotlight will turn into a projection, and the deer will become animated. And essentially, at that point, the entire rest of the tree becomes a canvas or a film screen.
Yeah.
And you see the deer running around, and effects are going on in the top parts of the tree branches. And so I think, like I said, short film, 3-4 minutes, peppy music. The stuff that we saw was charming. I really liked all of them. And then, you know, it ends with the deer going back into the tree. And then the next one begin about every 15 minutes.
That's cool. The projection tech has gotten pretty awesome. I like that. I like it over the castle. I like it a lot at Disneyland. I think their stuff there is awesome.
Does the tree take off like a rocket?
Like Buzz Lightyear?
It just burns to the ground. I think it does or something like that happens.
I haven't seen that one.
I created that in my head, so that's why. But I think there is something like that. The burning bush, the Bible stories come alive.
No, you're thinking about the giving tree.
That's at the Holy Land. The giving tree.
I've been
I've been reading that giving tree every night. Every night I'm like, okay, thank you, Riker. I'd love to be depressed now. All right. Thanks, giving tree. Ruining my iPhone.
So did you do the nighttime, anything else, the nighttime safari?
I did a nighttime safari. Waited an hour for that. And the line, I think, actually goes out to the airport and back when you're waiting in line. For an hour, we hear airplanes.
Horrible. When the queue goes out the door by the old desk that used to be like Winston
Mutubo. Exactly what it did.
When it does that, it's like you just feel like you're being led away, like to your demise.
Yeah, a bunch of people bailed out because again, it was still relatively warm and after dark. I like the nighttime safari. It you see a different mix of animals. They've set up feeding grounds. That are different. So there's what's the animal that's the ghost of the forest? It's not the okapi. It's something.
Oh, it's the one that's the logo, right? Like
the ghost of the forest.
No, the logo that's on the. It's called the ghost. It's the logo
not
for
the zoo.
For the. It's the logo for like the safari company.
Ghost of the darkness. What is it?
Ghost of the forest.
It's like a gazelle.
It's a type of gazelle.
We'll find it.
Is it a Tommy? Is it Thompson's Gazelle?
That's a Bernstein Bears book. I'm Googling it.
Bernstein.
So Night Train Safari, do you think it's worth it if you haven't, if you've done the daytime safari already in that day, is it worth double downing or is it just pick one? Yes. Okay.
No. So in fact, I wouldn't do the nighttime safari as your only trip on the safari. And the reason is there's still some animals that you can't see at all because it's dark. So like elephants, you know, things like that, you know, at night, sometimes you're trying to look for a gray elephant on a black background. It's more of an eye test than anything. But there are a lot of animals that we saw at night that we've never seen before. So the really big, the Ankole cattle, they were all bedded down together in a group, so they're all like sleeping in the mud, like it's some sort of bison version of Woodstock. You know, I've never seen them all together. And then the rhinos, the rhinos were everywhere, all over. I mean, but they were walking by like just another day, but it's the night, you know.
I've got an update. It's the bongo that is the ghost of the forest.
There you go.
Which is the first thing you see, right? Like when you first drive in, it's the thing that has zebra legs.
It's the preferred instrument of Ricky Ricardo.
I've never seen the bongos, I think, in person, but they were out. And there was actually like an albino one that was out that was super cool, and I would never see it. But no, the rhinos were out like this was their time of day, was night. You know, when you go during the day, they're kind of standing around like sucks to be a rhino type thing. But at night they were very mobile. They were walking all around the truck. It was the best rhino experience we've had.
Very good. Nice. So bongos good there, bongos Disney Springs bad. So, all right. Well, so you did that. You did Tree of Life. Anything else?
Yeah. We saw a little bit of the Jungle Book stuff, and it's just technically not there. You can tell it's kind of thrown together. The day that we were there. Okay. So imagine you've got a film screen, and it's set up in landscape mode, so wider than it is tall. Okay. Uh-huh. And then imagine you're trying to display a portrait picture of someone on that landscape screen. So essentially everyone gets cut off at the neck type thing. That's what was happening the night that we were there. And it was just, you could tell that they had issues and they needed to work through them. The water screens weren't quite tall enough to show everything.
I heard they were having a lot of issues with them meeting in the middle.
That's exactly it. In the middle was where the problem was. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So,
which is weird because you'd think, with World of Color, they would have figured that out when they built the new fountains for.
I think on this thing, they were like, somebody walked into the office and said, Rivers of Light's not going to be ready till August. What can you get done by? Right. What time is it? 4 o'clock?
Yeah, this is just a sort of patch together, you know, whatever they had. So it was, again, one more question. Anything else there? Nighttime? That feels like a lot. Now, I knew some people that have gone just done normal attractions just to experience. Did you do Everest or anything like that?
We didn't do Everest. We kind of walked around. Laurel's favorite park is the Animal Kingdom, doubly so at night. So the ambiance of Animal Kingdom is really, really great. I'm super excited to actually see what Pandora looks like at night. I think it's gonna make that park even better.
Yeah. So I guess you would suggest people go to Animal Kingdom at night. And any of those that you would skip or any of those that you would say you have to do. You said if it's safari, definitely do daytime, nighttime if you're there, kind of.
Yeah.
Don't make a special trip.
Really, with the extended hours, and by the way, I know like Disney hasn't extended the hours for September or October yet, but they will because the park's going to close at 5 o'clock. Here's what I'd do though. I'd go to the Animal Kingdom in the morning, you know, get in all your rides till about 2 or 3 o'clock. Go back, take a nap, come back to the park like around 6 or 7. Have a dinner, you know, maybe just appetizers and desserts at Tiffin's or maybe an entree dessert, and then you know start doing everything at night. You know, everything you want to see. I would definitely see the safari again at night because it's that different. But really just, you know, kind of walk around the park, watch the awakening, maybe see the show. With a midday break, it'll be a nice full day in the park.
All right. Well, I think that wraps that up. Good job there, Lynn. So don't have to do another special show on the Animal Kingdom. I think we got that covered. I look forward to going. I'm not the hugest Animal Kingdom fan in the world, but I look forward to the nighttime stuff. I think the idea of Animal Kingdom without the sun sounds appealing to me.
Exactly.
All right, we're going to take a quick break and we'll be right back with more listener questions with Lynn.
Don't have all the questions, you got all the answers. Tell me what you want of me.
All right, folks, we're going to take a quick break here and talk about our friends at Audible. Audible is a great way to listen to an audiobook. They have thousands upon thousands of digital audiobooks for you to listen to. And you can go to audible.com/WDW to check them out, and you get a free 30-day subscription. One of my favorite recent books out is a bestseller called The Girl on the Train by Paula Hawkins. It's kind of a suspense thriller type book. One thing that my wife and I love to do when we're going on a road trip, specifically to a place like Walt Disney World, is to get a good mystery or thriller book going. A lot of times it'll take the whole trip going down or going down and back, depending. And you really get to just spend that time as a family listening to an audiobook on your way to Disney World. So check them out at audible.com/WDW. What about you, Logan?
Lots of great books right now. I've started listening to the new book, Hamilton, The Revolution.
Oh, nice.
Which is obviously about the musical, which is by Lin-Manuel Miranda, who is going to be obviously doing the music for Moana. It's a great way. I'm a huge fan of the musical, as most people are right now, but you can listen to their book kind of about the history of how they made the whole musical and sort of the revolution that's come from it, as the name would say. But also I've been listening to with my son lots of all the movies they've converted obviously into books and then converted back into audiobooks. So Finding Dory comes out this week. They have Finding Dory, they have Frozen, everything. They're like 2.5-3 hours. And if you don't have in the car, you know, a DVD player or something like that, or you just don't want them to have screen time, it's a great way to experience the movie in a different way. It's another fun way to bring some Disney love into your 28-hour drives.
The first time I checked out Audible, it was in the middle of doing research for a book. And when you're doing research for a book, you have to read a lot. Obviously, my book was kind of inspired by Walt Disney. I got Walt Disney, The Triumph of the American Imagination by Neil Gabler. Big read. I saw the book and realized it was the size of a phone book. And I was like, I'm going to give Audible a try. And I tried it out and have been a fan ever since. It is literally 30 hours of listening. What I did is I drove to Walt Disney World. I listened to it there and then I listened to it back.
And you were home.
And I was home.
For your free trial, go to audible.com/WDW. You'll get a free audiobook and it's a free 30-day trial.
And remember, these folks at Audible, they're awesome, and they're not just, you know, a sponsor of ours or a partner of ours. They are listeners, and they're active listeners of the broadcast, and they're just like you. And so support them, audible.com/WDW.
And now back to listener questions with Lynn.
All right, so do you want to take some questions now?
Yes.
Yeah, well, let's get back on track.
Okay, where were we?
Did we go to Ginger, Logan.
Ginger, all right. This is from Ginger Busick, something like that. Have you ever successfully converted a non-Disney person to a Disney lover? And if so, how did you do it? Love the show, guys. Thanks.
So this is a question about Disney evangelism and the gospel according to Mickey.
Yeah, this is, have you ever taken someone who does not like Disney or is a non-Disney person and converted them to a Disney lover? Not even a liker, a lover. And if so, how do you I do it, Lynn? I'm sure this has been part of your career. Have you successfully accomplished this?
Yeah, I have to say I haven't, actually. No. The interesting thing is when my sister and I, when we were growing up, and you know, we would have our the people that we were dating, we'd bring them to Disney sort of as a test to see whether they got it or not,
if they could handle it.
Yeah, so a lot of not successful things there.
Yep. Disney litmus test.
Yeah, I would say that I have the opposite of. I've had people that were excited about going to Walt Disney World and have turned their back on it once they're there and said, this is not for me. Or people that have grown in this, and when I say grown out of it, I mean people that were like my parents, who I would say were excited to go with us, but have no interest going by themselves at this point. Like, are like, okay, we did that for 20 years. That was enough. You know, yeah. Take me to the islands. Yeah, I think that's, Will's laughing at that.
Take me to the islands.
Sorry. Yeah. So I never really happened.
I sort of did it. We were had a business event in Disneyland area, and we had some friends from Australia that were there with us. And we were standing there at Fantasmic on a Friday night. And if you've ever been to Disneyland on a Friday night, and it's kind of when all of Southern California comes to Disneyland.
Yeah.
It's insanity. And they were not theme park people at all. And being there when the show was going on, it was just insane. And I said, hey, I know this is overwhelming to you guys. I want you to just come with me to Main Street, USA, and I kind of walked them down Main Street and told them a little bit about Walt's story and about the windows and about the people that had created the park and the stories of some of the people in the windows. And they kind of had a moment like, okay, I get this place now. I understand why this is here and what it's about. And so that's kind of my one converting someone, because it was more about they were endeared to Walt's passion for innovation more than just theme park.
And I would say, Will, this is interesting. I feel like we've converted you.
Sure. Yeah. I was a, like growing up in Orlando, we would go to Disney a few times a year. But I wouldn't say that I was growing up as all in as I am now today. So, yeah, I would say that you and Terry probably have more a hand in that than you realize. Yeah. And yes, I feel like I'm more a fan of Disney than I am now. As a kid, we would go to Disney. We'd go a couple times a year. I was always looking forward to it. But it was almost like that thing when you'd meet someone from out of town, they'd be like, oh, you live at Disney World, you know? And so it was kind of like you had a little bit of a negative, like, no, man, no.
Yeah.
No, we go to Universal and we go to SeaWorld.
We do roller coasters.
Yeah. And so I would say, yeah, it has changed a little bit for me as I've grown up being with you guys, going down, trying new experiences.
Being over 21.
Right. Going to drink around the world. Things like that that I couldn't do as a kid.
Yeah, I feel like you should also give credit your favorite drink there in the fuzzly bucket.
Tipsy Ducks.
Tipsy Ducks in Love is one of the...
Converted you.
Converted you.
It's one the Kool-Aid. The modern wonders of the world.
All right.
All right. So Michael David wants to know, a man with two first names, do you foresee them ever adding shuttles direct from the parking lot to take some of the load away from TTC? Instead of the trams just taking you to the TTC to have a direct shuttle option.
In Terry's defense, that's how it was worded. So do you ever see them adding shuttles direct from the parking lot to the park, essentially, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. It is worded up.
Skipping monorail and ferries directly to the... I guess they're talking about, would a shuttle run directly to resort parking or resort guest
entrance? So the concern I think they would have there is... You've got those trams on that two-lane road with larger cars, and you're not wearing seat belts on the trams, so there might be a safety issue there. The other thing is that if they ever wanted to widen that road, remember the road goes to get out of the TTC. Doesn't the road go under the waterway to the Contemporary?
Yes,
and so that means they'd have to do bridge work, and so I'm not sure that they would do that. I don't know that they can take the trams on a public access road.
Yeah, I kind of agree with you. I feel like that it's probably more an engineering issue than a flow of traffic issue.
And is it just me, or does that bridge there and the bridge over by the Yacht and Beach Club always seem like it's leaking eerily a lot? Like, I feel like I'm going to drive under there and all of Bay Lake is going to be in my front seat.
Yeah.
Free passes for life.
Free passes for life.
All right.
Hey, which may not be very long if the entire Bay Lake
is in your front seat.
All right. Hey, Will, read this one. I like this one, just came in.
All right.
I think this one's good.
From Eric?
Yeah.
We've got Eric Jenkins on Facebook asking, do you think the Living with the Land ride will become a tiered 2 ride when they bring Frozen Ever After online?
Just a good travel tip. Do you think they're going to be shuffling those, Lynn?
I think they've already announced that it still is a tier 1, right?
I'm asking you.
I'm asking you.
Yeah, I believe it is.
I hear it sounds like a customer service call.
So. Checking my sources. Oh yes, I can get you. I can get you
$100 penalty.
You know, it's funny because I just checked this before I left and then I forgot about it. But I'm pretty sure it's still tier 1, which is unusual.
That is odd. No, I would to a tier 1.
I think what it is to keep people out of the land pavilion, but.
Yeah.
All right. So there you go. So that's your answer, Aaron. I just figured, you know, I'd like to throw in some tip ones that are more less opinion. So hopefully that helps you planning out your rest of your vacation.
No one will use a tier 1 attraction on Living with the Land.
No, it doesn't make sense.
Barely makes sense to use a fast pass on it.
All right. Let's now go to Christopher Shaw, who said, taking a solo trip to Walt Disney World, which is something Terry's known to do. I've done once at Disneyland at the end of November. When trying to get an ADR online for one in Ohana, I was only able to find availability for a table of 4. I made the ADR. Is there a way to modify the ADR to reflect only one person? And if I leave it alone, will they charge me for the no-shows for 3 people?
Did they? No, as long as one person shows up.
Yeah, as long as you make the reservation, they're not going to. Done. I've had, because the fact that, look, I've done parties of 8, 9, and you know, a three people group, you know, two mom and dad and a kid. Two of those dropped out. It was just my wife and I and our son, and then I never got charged.
I would say if you're concerned about it, go to the concierge desk and just say, hey, I need to change this to a reservation for one.
Also, I feel like
I've had them cancel
a table,
reservation for that, though.
I have a feeling at a table of four, they don't have tables for one.
Right.
So you're still taking up the same amount of space. Rather now, yeah. If you were like 12 people and you're just one, but yeah.
Yeah. What's interesting is I normally experience the opposite at Ohana, where my wife and I will be a party of two, and all we could find was a party of one. It's just like, well, we're going to reserve a party of one and show up.
See, I usually find like I'll find a party of nine, and then I'll be like, okay, I need to adjust. You can now do all that on the app, by the way.
Yeah, I wonder if you could just on the app just drop three people on.
You could try. Not doesn't always work though.
Yeah.
I've had mixed results with that. All right. Next?
Joseph, this is an easy question that I think Logan's... We'll skip you for the first response on this one, Lynn. We're going to go right to Logan.
Okay.
All right. Joseph Yanoska.
Yanoska?
Yanoska will be at the World in October with just my wife and no kids, looking to do a special Halloween event. Should we do Disney or, dare I say, Universals?
Okay.
Thought we already answered this
We did answer this question last week. Here's what I'd say. This is all because I got some pushback, and here's what I'm going to say. I'm obviously a huge advocate of Halloween Horror Nights, Universal's premier Halloween event, Orlando's premier Halloween event. It's a great event, and I love it. But it totally depends on your personality. It's absolutely to do with what you want to experience. If you want to experience a fun party where people go crazy, and there's lots of fun haunted houses, and crazy what you'd call streetmosphere, I guess, there as well, and in scare zones, you're going to have a blast over at Halloween Horror Nights. But if you're someone who's not interested in being scared, jumped at, chainsaws, clowns, whatever it is, because they've announced a lot of that this year already with Chance, I would say go with Disney. I mean, that totally depends on your personality. So if you are not interested in being scared, and I mean that from a legitimate standpoint, as an adult being scared, not, you know, you're not going to be crying, but you know, you're going to probably scream once or twice in the night. Stay away from Universal, but I encourage everyone to go Universal because it's an amazing artistic.
Logan has a great shocked scream. It's
so I have a this is actually a security question that maybe Lynn, because it's actually probably just an opinion. So we all know that they changed the costume rules back when the first security kind of concern wave came on. Lynn, do you think that they're going to open this up for adults to be able to dress up or cosplay for the Halloween event, or just not at all?
Probably not. I mean, just given
especially what just happened. Yeah,
happened recently. Yeah, I don't think so.
So, is it going to be like you're going to dress up and wear the Buzz and Woody T-shirt that they get at the park, and that's going to be your costume if you're an adult? Or
yeah, it's
maybe
be a
cowboy hat,
tuxedo T-shirt. Yeah.
And look, I don't blame that. I honestly, right now, I'm all for that. I think that's the best case scenario. They've never allowed you to do it at Universal, and I've always appreciated that because it, you know, Universal's because you could obviously be someone who's scared. But I've always appreciated Universal took that extra step. Yes, I understand you aren't going to get your cute pictures with your kids and the adults grown up and everything. But I think for security standpoint, especially this year, I'm all for it. All right.
So you're left a Disney bound, if you'd like. If you bound.
Will doesn't know what that word means. He texted me the other day.
What are you talking about?
Disney bounding.
Disney bounding.
Don't know what that means.
All right, that's going to do it for this week on WDW Today. Thank you guys for all joining in. Obviously, special thanks to the greatest band in podcasting. That would be Off Kilter. Go to their website, offkilter.net. You can obviously see them coming up at the De Las Puertas Music Festival. That's at dlpfest.com. And special thanks and shout out to our presenting sponsors, Off to Neverland Travel. As Will likes to say,
all you got to do is pack.
Plan your next vacation through them. Great way. And obviously, a big shout out and a big thank you to our friends now at audible.com. Go check out their free 30-day trial, audible.com/WDW. Well, that's going to do it for today's show. I'm Logan Seculo.
I'm Will Haynes.
I'm Terry Weaver.
We'll talk to you on the next show.